Savior comes, I will answer when he calls for me. I will hear when the Savior calls. I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. For my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Calls me. If my heart is right, I will hear. If my heart is right, when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Calls me. If my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white, when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Just a little walk with Jesus, page 237.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then the light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little help with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. He will tell all about our troubles. And he'll answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer burning, you know the fire is burning. You will find a little talk that Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my path seems illusory, and then a cloud of doubt may hide the light. Talk with Jesus, tell him all about our troubles, and when you hear our faintest cry, he will answer by and by. When you feel the prayer turning, and you know that a fire is burning, you will have a little talk with Jesus, makes it right. I may have doubt and fears, my eyes may fill with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches my eyes. He knows my every prayer. He knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Let's have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he'll answer by and by. Now when you talk with Jesus makes it right.
to sing the song No Turning Back, page 477. We have one prayer request today. Three prayer requests. Sister Gwen, Joe's biopsy came out clear. We are very thankful. Sister Milka, please pray for us as we will be in Monopolis for the week. I will be walking and working, and the boys be playing. Thank God. Thank you. Sister Mary, please pray for my speedy recovery. I am I have a sore throat and breathing problems. Unspoken requests, raise your hands. Let's stand. And Brother Colley, will you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, again, we pray for the thank you for the opportunity to come together to worship Christ. While we pray that the Christ has been raised for each one, Lord, and bless them to have the Christ. Lord, for everyone that has the Christ in their hearts, to raise their hands up to you, Lord, you know the need and the desire of their world. Bless you for that. Lord, bless you, bless for the day of the study and pray for your word for us to our children to be. God, that as we can hear those words, Lord, to see us, be blessed for our lives. God, we ask you to every thought and every desire to be upon your holy word and God.
You may be seated. Sister Monica's class has a special. We are going to try this song. When it says hallelujah, you stand up. When we say praise ye the Lord, you sit down.
Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord.
Sing the chorus, I just want to glorify. Stand and sing, He Knows My Name.
I have a father.
Please be seated. Sister Rachel's class has a song. Brother Sterling and Brother Nate, please come up and take the offering. Brother Mark, you can come up and take the offering.
Just for to glorify, glorify His name. I just want to glorify, glorify His name. There's no greater name I know.
Let's change the order of the service. Stand up, please.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. Sing, holy, holy, you loving. Lift it up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. Let's give these kids a good hand, okay? Enjoy their singing, their participation and all. They really put their hearts to it. And you know, you can hear them singing and we appreciate it. Amen? Good to see you in the house of the Lord. You're in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scripture. Turn to Revelations 1 where we've been reading. And try to continue on our point of what we're talking about, a study of the book of Revelations, and going on through the things that we see, and thank God for the truth, right? There was a day that we couldn't read these and even hardly talk about it, because we would be talking about man and his philosophy. You know, people have had ideas of what this meant, you remember? And remember the story right around told about, you know, that it would be the Holy Spirit with a little Cupid arrow shooting the people, you know, and this, that, or the other. Well, see, that was man's and its ideas, you know. I told you one time about my brother-in-law talking about that big beast, you know, that he saw there in Revelation. It would be a great big King Kong, you know, walking across the earth, you know. And I said, I don't think that'd fool anybody religiously, you know. And Then one man one time was talking about how the buzzards, you remember, the birds there in Revelation will eat off of the people. And he said, you know, said the buzzards are hatching three or four at a time now instead of like one. I said, well, that's all right. But what do you mean? He said, well, you know, over there in the Bible where the buzzards eat off the people, said, you got to have more buzzards, you know. I said, well, okay, you know, that's fine. Well, I didn't think it had anything to do with the coming of the Lord, but, or the ending of all things. But, you know, that's man and their ideas. We've all had our opinions, our thoughts. I told you that I used to think as a kid that when somebody had told me when the Lord would be coming, he'd come with an umbrella. You know, I don't know where I got it, but, you know, every time I'd see a cloud come up, I'd run out and look to see if there's an umbrella in it. And, you know, if I didn't see an umbrella, I thought, well, I'm doing pretty good. I made it past this one, you know. But that's just our way of thinking, right? Of the Word of God. Amen. But thank God for the prophet of God that was sent unto us to expound these things unto us. And now then it becomes so simple until why didn't we read these things ourselves, you know, and relate to it? It wouldn't take, see, it couldn't be a theologian to try to figure these things out because he would have the wrong thoughts and approach. It would have to be, you know, someone different from that. Okay, Revelations 1. Your Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for all things. And we know that you give them to us freely. And we pray that you'd come this afternoon and speak to our hearts and direct each and every one of us that we may see you, Lord, and be directed in your love. And Father, just have your way with us and open our understanding. And we know that we can talk about the word and talk about the symbols and how they've been broken and the prophet has delivered it unto us and all of that's wonderful. But anybody can talk about that. But it takes a special people, as we started off talking about, a special people in the book of Revelations that would be able to understand this book. It would take one with prophetic insight. Not just a prophet to bring it, but with prophetic insight to be able to comprehend what has been brought unto us. We love you and we thank you. Have your way now. Bless and guide each one in Jesus' name. Revelations 1, 1 through 3, as we've been reading. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we're trying to continue on with our thoughts and you know, trying to comprehend things and leading up to the Revelations chapter 5, but I'm enjoying getting there, so I don't know how good it'll be when we get there, but we just appreciate it. Amen. Now remember this morning, I try to background before I start into the next message, because I want you to see that it all ties together. And to me, what would you call it? A multiple form of revealing or something, you know? What would be the words there? I'm not an educated person, but to me, there's many things shown, but it's not many different things. It's many different ways or thoughts of seeing, maybe not ways, because that deals with putting too much into a problem, but ways of seeing things from different ones. You remember there in the Bible that one of the writers of the gospel, he saw one blind man. Right? But one of the others, he saw two. Well, that's not a contradiction. It's just two different people seeing it. You know, and one of them back in the crowd didn't get to see the two. The other one up there right first, and he saw the two, you know, the other one just maybe seen one from a side view, and they wrote what they saw. And you say, well, don't you believe the Lord could lead them to all of them get together about the same thing? Well, that's the marvelous thing that I love about the Word of God, that God used man to write it. He didn't use theologians. We couldn't have understood it, you know, too proper of a word, you know. And all of the big fancy, you know, what is your input? Well, I never did know what input meant hardly, you know, and I couldn't understand. But, you know, and those big fancy words people use, that's okay. But it's just plain old simple language. And anybody with a great education ought to be able to understand someone who speaks in a common language, whereas maybe those in a common language couldn't comprehend what was said in the higher-ups, you know. But it's like I've always said, they life in our ways. You go up north and you know, they want to say tomatoes and potatoes. Well, that's good. But then they'll say, what'd you say, you know? But if you go up there and say, want some maters and taters, they'll go life in all the way, but they'll come back with what you asked for. Because you can understand. Those with education can understand those who are not educated. So let's get it down to where we're at. Now, you want scripture for it? The common people heard him gladly. All right. So he spoke in a common language to where they could understand. All right. But now just trying to get a few thoughts in our mind to where we can look at things. The message this morning of what? We saw the throne, and then we saw one sitting on the throne. But then we saw a rainbow around about the one that was sitting on the throne, you know, and all of these things we talked about. And a covenant, you know. And we've seen that we don't see but part of it here, because when we get there, we'll get a message of cheer down through time, no more than we see the full rainbow over the earth or the arches of the earth, you know. But I said, you look up to heaven and you see a rainbow around about the sun or something like that. Or I don't know, maybe even somebody around the moon, but I know it is sometime around the sun. But that's in the heavenly forms to where we can understand. So when we get there, when we get there, you know, we'll see it. And we'll realize realization. And that rainbow is a covenant. But I didn't get to finish with what I said. You could spend weeks preaching on one thought, you know, because you think about it. You know that when we get there, they will be symbolics of things that happened on earth, but they won't be needed anymore. But I don't believe in doing away with any of the attributes of God. I've always tried to express that to you. Why do we want to do away with them? You know, I mean, we have troubles at home because we have little things that the kids done or whatever, and little cards. My wife will tell me, say, take these cards into the basement. Well, I mean, we got boxes of cards, you know, that you don't want to get rid of them, you know, because they have some meaning to you. You know, you want to hold on to that thought. Well, I don't believe there'll be anything. I've always told you, I believe when we get there, you'll see the nail prints in his hands. That'd be wonderful. You know, you say, no, we don't need that there. It's going to be a glorified body. Well, according to the prophet, when he raised, he had nail prints in his hand. I thought he raised in a glorified body. I didn't know. You know, that's just the point. And then by being that away, you know that when we get over there, we won't need a covenant. Now, I can get this from Brother Branham. I just wrote that across because I thought of it a minute ago. See, if not finishing up this morning. When we get there, we won't need a covenant. You say, well, why is the rainbow there then? It's there because it's wonderful. It'll never be done away with. It'll always be there. You'll always be able to see the rainbow. The covenant with man. But we don't need a covenant once we're redeemed. Right? See? We won't need the nail prints in his hands. But we'll see that what they done for us. All right? We won't need the stripes in his back to heal us. But they can be there. You say, oh, you have such a narrow mind. I agree with you. But I love it, you know. Just leave me alone. I've been crazy, I guess, all my life. And just leave me alone. This is the way I think. I just think about, you know, him and his doings and things. And I don't believe there's going to be a throne over here and a little halo of light floating around over here, you know, and something over yonder, a dove or something, you know. And I can say, well, hey, Father, where's the Son at? Well, he's over here, you know. No. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. All right, then there won't be any trouble when we get there. You say, that's too close to oneness. No. And what I'm trying to tell you is the reason that it's not too close to oneness because the bride is in the same form he's in. And the oneness can't handle that. They say Jesus was the last form, but I don't agree with it. I believe the bride of Christ is the last form of God upon the earth in this dispensation. Then there'll be the Jews. There'll be redemption for them. There'll be things, you know. So there's many things to think about. But just think about it. The rainbow will be there, but not as a point that it has to be there of a covenant. It'll be there because that was the covenant. And God don't do away with anything. He just keeps adding to. And as long as he keeps adding to, then we'll be happy, right? All right. Now think about that then, and think about the things we tried to say this morning, and try not to back up too much, but just to go on. Let's read our scripture. We've gotten up now to Revelation 4, verse 4. But let's read this and just take on this thought. Let's read verse 3 to tie it all back. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, inside of like unto an emerald. that we didn't even get to that. And you know, emerald was a certain color Brother Rand spoke of, you know, like in the pillar of fire in the Luke's, you know, or the pillar of fire and the way it is in the way of it going, you know. All right. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, 24 elders. Who is that? We say, well, that's, we've known it, you know. It's the 12 apostles and the 12 patriarchs. We've known that, see, because the prophet has told us that from before. But just remember then that even at this time of what you're seeing would be the future when we would be there. All right, then the Old Testament people are getting involved. Right? Because you got the 12 patriarchs. Right? And in doing that, see, then this plan of redemption has been a wonderful thing. It was not just for the 12 patriarchs. That's just the symbol part to show you the Old Testament is tied together. That is the part that shows, as we'll see in a minute, that makes that rainbow covenant around the throne. Because it will tie together the showing that redemption was back there, waiting on Jesus Christ to pay the price. But at this time that we're in glory, it can go on because now, you know, that catch the point of what I'm saying, and you'll follow the point through the message. See, this scene that we see here goes to the white throne. All right? Goes to the throne of judgment. All right? So don't get lost in your thoughts before we get there and try to figure it out, you know, of saying, well, now that can't be us and them there together. Where would that be? You know, well, we just, you know, go along till we understand. All right? This is after the rapture, though. All right? And the reason I said now that you got to tie it together to the throne is because after the rapture, your redemption is not complete for the 12 tribes of Israel. You agree? We go up in a rapture. So this moves us a little further over. All right? And I hope you follow from now on because we're moving over more in the book of Revelations. We're moving over to like 17. We'll come back, pick these up. Because we're moving over to the judgment throne to look at it more. Instead of just saying this is in heaven. Because in the rapture we go there. And we will be with him in the throne. But then there comes a time that it's completed. Well, now, listen to my point. That rainbow wouldn't be complete if there was people that was still to be redeemed. Now, I'm not talking about foolish virgins to be given eternal life at the white throne. No. See, now, don't go over there. Keep with me. Stay where I'm at. See, the plan of redemption is not complete until Israel is redeemed. Are you following me? There's 144,000 to be redeemed after the rapture of the bride of Christ. Everybody go with me on that? All right. So then the rainbow wouldn't be made complete. See, as to looking at it when you're sitting on the throne as a judgment without that full plan of redemption. But we can see our part. And that's basically what we've been doing up to this point. We've been dealing, and we will deal a minute with this here, our part. And as we ended up this morning talking about that there's just one on the throne. But that one on the throne is Almighty God with a many-membered body. Not that he ain't got a body. It's still in the symbolics. It's the throne. It's where we go when we leave here. We go to the marriage supper. We go to those things, you know. But it just means that the throne of God that was in the earth in the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the individual, the bride of Christ, has been made complete on earth. And it goes up to match that which is sitting there, you know, as the throne. So we see our part of it. Now we're going to move over just a little. And then we'll come back to our part of it again in Revelation 5. All right? But see, at this point, you see 24 seats. And you see 24 elders. All right? So it's got to move over now. Up into as far as the white throne. At this point that we would begin in verse 4, you would move over a drastic amount of time, at least 3.5 years, from the time of the rapture to the 144,000 in their completion. But see, if you don't bring them up, then you wouldn't have a complete rainbow. Now, that's the reason I kept emphasizing this morning. When you take the 7 golden candlesticks, the rainbow, the things, put them together, you're talking about the bride. The 7 golden candlesticks is not dealing with Israel. All right? It's dealing with the bride of Christ through the church ages. So within, we're seeing our part. Our part, we come to the to the throne of God. And it, at that point, it is not a judgment seat. It is a raptured condition. Right? Then we'll move over to a judgment seat and judge angels, and we go on down to where it turns to lightnings and thunderings. But here it's showing whether you would call it an insert or what you would call it, but it's showing that there's a 24 elders. He said, well, we just realize there's 12 apostles and 12 prophets, you know, apostles. Okay. But the only place you can bring the 12 apostles and the 12 patriarchs together would have to be when the plan of redemption is over. Right? And see, that's at least 3.5 years after we go up in the rapture. Okay? That's at least is enough to where that we want to get out of here in a rapture. So do we see our part now? And then we'll try to pick back up with these 24 elders, you know. You see that we come to that throne. That's not a judgment throne right there in the verse 1, 2, 3, the is not a judgment throne. It's the throne of God, as I said a moment ago, that's been in our heart, completed upon earth. Redemption for the Gentiles is finished. And then we go up in a rapture. There makes the throne of God complete. See, then you'll start talking about the lightnings, the thunderings, and the don't do that. Just keep it step by step, very slow. Until we get there. All right. So, but do you see our part then, that we are actually now, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, sitting actually in the throne? Because God's throne is right here in our hearts. All right. That's wonderful. That don't do away with what's up there. You know what really that is there, and if people could understand these little points, they would understand about theophanies and things like that, and they wouldn't have a body up yonder and this down here and that over there. Can't get it together. they would understand why Brother Branham would say, your soul is your theophany. That's right in here. But only have the negative. Only have the earnest of that. The rest is in heaven. That's just like the new birth in faith. You don't have all of these virtues. You have portions of things. But then one day when you attain to these virtues and the headstone comes, you know what's been pulling us? That positive is pulling us upward. The simple form of rapture. Being resurrected, sitting in heavenly places, raising up to meet Him in the air. And in doing so, when we come to the place here to match what's there, we're going to go to that throne. That don't make it a judgment throne right then. You got a marriage supper. You got other things to be involved. All right? See, a lot of people just say, well, we just go from here to there. Well, there's a lot from here to there. You know? I mean, Brother Dick, he could tell me, he said, Brother Dale, you know, the, what do you call it? Well, I've been by the Statue of Liberty, but we didn't get to stop, just waved at him or her or what's up there. But he's been all up in there, you know, and could come back and tell me all about it because he's been there. And he said, can't you see right here, Brother Dale, us standing right here? He said, we're right now standing right, and that's the way preachers preach, you know. We're right now standing right here at the, you know, the tower there. I said, no, Brother Dick, I'm right here. You might be there because you've been there. But I haven't been there, so I can't be there. You can tell me all about it. All right, Brother Branham would come and say, see, I'm not saying the Lord's coming. I'm saying He's here. People say, no, the Lord's here. The prophet said He was here. Well, God said He was here before the world ever started. What I've always said, we spent 7,000, oh, going into 7 now. We spent 6,000 years trying to prove He's a God up in heaven. He spent 6,000 years trying to prove He's on earth. We just got the thing all messed up. But you get the point of what I'm saying. We've got to complete what we said this morning before we can talk about these 24 elders. All right? See, then when the bride and Christ becomes one, the rainbow is around about the throne. All right? Because it's the covenant. Because that's all of our covenant. And we'll get to it in a minute, but there's still something left for Israel. They got to be brought into the picture. But we're not concerned with that right now. You know, everybody wants to know who the two witnesses is. Go to Israel. That's good. If we knew the name, their address, the telephone number, I'd call them up and say, good luck, fellas. You got a problem when we get out of here. But what else can I tell them? You know. See, then we have to keep it where we are. And when that throne is completed in our hearts, adoption, headstone, whatever you want to call it, coming into our hearts and our lives upon this earth, he said, well, it sure don't look like it. Well, it never did look like it before. What are you going to take the example to judge by? You know. Well. So then we must get everything right here. And it matches there, then we'll go there. Then we can see we're around the throne. We can see that we're not just around the throne, we're on the throne. That makes the throne of God complete. Now listen to the statement. Unless that throne is complete, there's no need of talking about 24 elders that are around the throne. Because you better remember, if you're going to believe it's 24 elders, you better change the scene for a second to remember that 12 of those 24 are the apostles. Don't you think that they're sitting on in the throne? at the rapture, right? So let's complete our part. Okay? Let's get the plan of redemption for us Gentiles. Let's study the message and climb and pray and, you know, climb up the stature of a perfect man and pray and seek God for our part. It don't do me any good to know what their part is. That's wonderful to study. But it's my part. You know. I mean, there's people that just write books, you know, and then there's people that read those books. They just get so involved in reading books until, you know, they just get right in there with it. And they're actually living out those things, you know. And that becomes what you call a fantasy world, because you're reading about what somebody else does. And, you know, have you ever thought about all of these books that's wrote about kids is written by old maids and bachelors? How to raise kids. Now, being here, there's no need of you writing a book about how to raise kids. There's just no need of it. You don't know. You've never experienced it. Until you've experienced it, you don't know what us old doty old granddaddies look like or talk about. You think we're crazy. Man, I'd pick that kid up and I'd spank him. I'd set him down good. You know. Yeah, but give you one. And you become so mellow. What do you call that? Melancholy or something. I don't know what the word is. Where you just become so soft. But that's, am I right? Am I telling the truth? Dr. Zeus probably never had the kids at all. And he's the one about the kids with the movies and the things that they made, you know, and all of these others. Probably never had a kid. You know. But listen, you and I have experienced something. We've experienced a life in Christ by the new birth. We've experienced this message being brought unto us. We've experienced the reading of it. We've experienced even the part that would go with it. You know, that they say, well, Lula ain't nothing but word, 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 word. That's all they want to do is word, word, word. Well, that's all I knew there was about it. That's all right. And I've always said, maybe we do just have the letter of the word. But if the Holy Ghost could ever get that alive, we got something. What about the ones that don't have the letter of the word? How could the Holy Ghost ever make alive anything to them? All right, but just get the point. We got to find ourselves, see ourselves, before we enter the fourth verse. And be able to see what is transpiring and being able to see that even the fourth verse and then going into the fifth of the lightning, the throne is the judgment seat. So then let's get the right part here. Well, I want to know what goes over there. You know, that's good. But people who want to know what's going to go on tomorrow don't know what's going on today. Going to repeat that. That's a good thought. I just thought of that. See? So you know what I'm talking about. People are always wanting to know. Brother gave me a big old book a long time ago. And he wanted to know about 1977. You know. And he wanted me to put down everything I could get on 77. Well, I never did do a thing with it. I threw the book away probably about a year ago. But people would say, well, write down what this is. What good does it do me to write it down? You know. The Holy Ghost has got to reveal it. But you get what I'm saying? See, we're going to make a vast jump in these verses that's going to move on up into a later period of time. But we got to get this time right. See, to know all the mysteries by letter is one thing. And I believe that's what Paul was talking about, see. He wasn't talking about revelation mysteries when he said, now you can differ with me if you want to, that's all right. I don't believe Paul when he said to know all mysteries, you know, and have not charity. He's not talking about Holy Ghost revealed mysteries. Now, I do not believe that. I'm just as plain as I can be with you, all right? I believe that's intellectual learning of the Word. Because if you understood all the mysteries by revelation, you tell me that's not love? You tell me that's not charity? You tell me that's not the headstone? See? But we just make our own thoughts about it, see? And we hear Brother Branham say, well, you know, we'll say something about, do you know about this? The Bible says, and the prophet said, we could know all mysteries and still not have love. You know. Well, you ought to look at them and say, you don't think I got any love? That's what you ought to say to them. You're just saying I don't have any love? All right. But listen, can you understand? We went through nine messages, is number 10. Coming up to this place, to understand now, we must divide things. Then we will go a few verses, and then we'll get into the fifth chapter, which will bring us back down to an understanding to where we want to start talking. All right? But just to get these things out of the way, see, what you call it, a breach. We've up to a place now that God is not dealing in redemption with you and I if the throne is complete. And the rainbow's round about the throne. And the bride sitting on the throne with him. Because notice it didn't say in Revelation what it said. He that overcomes shall sit with me in my throne. As I've overcome and sit with my Father. Because it's not just something to sit down on. It's a revelation. At this time, you and I have taken a rapture, our studies of the book of Revelation. We've taken a rapture. We went to complete this, to make the throne in heaven complete. Because it's got to be complete to be able to understand then the fifth chapter and the Lamb coming forth, because the Lamb has to come from the church ages. And we've got to get from a place to where we understand Son of God, Son of Man, and bring it into the right view. All right. But now you get what I'm saying. So at this time, try to make the division of what you're doing. And then when you make the division to see that it is the throne, then you can see why the 24 elders is around about the throne. When, see, at the time we go into rapture, 12 of those, the apostles, is in the throne. In a rapture. Then your scene is changing. All right? It's changing to a time of where there's no redemption. Redemption will be over because all this Old Testament representation and New Testament representation will be brought into view. Now, there'll be a white throne that people can receive eternal life, but they'll never be the bride. And neither will there ever be Israel. They're just given eternal life because of whatever they're doing. So, all right, so now look what we're saying then. If you can understand what I'm saying, it says in round about the throne, were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders. All right. Now, go ahead, Brother Joe or Bob. Brother Bob, okay. Go ahead, who's there? These brothers are wonderful. I appreciate them. They swap out to where at least some can sit out here sometime, because those back in there, they can do the best they can, but they do, and Brother Joe, he's back there all the time because he's handling the other parts of it and all. And listen, church, if you ever have any problems, or your family, tell your family, say, well, if you need me during church time, don't let them call your phones and mess things up, you know, and all. Just tell them to call the church phone. And Joe will answer it and quietly come out here and tell you. We're not trying to hinder when we say, don't turn your phones on. We're trying to keep it from ring, 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 ring. And mine is the loudest of them all. So if mine went off up here, you would hear it downstairs easy. But listen, just call, tell them to call the church and give a message, because Joe's there doing it. We appreciate all that. All right, look what we're getting to. Now, Brother Branham, what are these 24 elders? I'm asking that question, see. So questions and answers on Hebrews part 3, 57, 1006, paragraph 691. Now the 4 and 20 elders. An elder is an overseer. And notice there were 12 patriarchs and 12 apostles. And they were sitting, 12 on one side and 12 on the other. But you see, the division is the redemptive plan. It doesn't say 24 seats and they're just intermingled. You've got to deal now with the Old Testament redemption, the New Testament redemption. All right? Because when you come to the white throne, the redemptive plan is over. The 144,000 have done been called out, sealed in, and everything when you come to the white throne. Because see, that's going away on over. All right? There were the 24 elders, which were the 12 apostles. Patriarchs on one side and the Old Testament, the 12 apostles on the other side of the New Testament. Didn't Jesus say, we'll sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel? Let's see, that's Luke 22 and 30, when he said that we would sit on the 12, we'll sit on 12 thrones, that's us, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Because we're going to judge the whole thing. Irregardless of them being representative as a patriarch in a wonderful position, you know that they have to be judged. All right? So we're going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, the 144,000, I'm just personally putting it, if we don't have to stand before the judgment, the 144,000 that are given eternal life here or after we leave, I don't believe they'll stand before that either. It's the 12 tribes. It's not the 144,000, because they're given eternal life here. So you don't have anything to be judged at the white throne. All right, so follow him. And he covers the foundation of things. He said 12 is that worship number, you see, and there's a 20 and 4 would be 24, 12 apostles, and 12 patriarchs. They're sitting at the throne. All right? So now, this is coming to a position, to a judgment seat. Okay? A judgment is going to take place. So we'll get to there in just a minute. But let's just keep reading till we get to our number two, brother. Message, Revelation chapter 4, part 2, 61, 101, paragraph 307. Now, we read it, did we read it? Let's make sure we'll read it in the fourth verse. And I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. So now this group of people is going to have, you'll see it in a minute, we'll get to it, we have time. See? White means righteousness, and because they were robed, show that they were priests or judges. White robe priests, judges, prophets, so forth. See what they were. They were white robed, the 20 and 4 elders. There will be 20 and 4 elders. There will be 12 of them for the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles for the church. And they sat in the courts of the great king. Remember, they're sitting out there. These are. And here is the bride and Christ sitting on his throne, and his wife sitting by him, the church. The 20 and 4 elders, the 144,000 eunuchs of the temple ministering to him, where he gets up, his wife goes with him, oh my, through that great age that's coming when all the sin and the, even the resemblance of sin, see, everything is totally gone. Go on to the next one, number three. Revelation chapter 4, which is the message 12:31. This is part one of it. Right. Note the throne. He sat on the throne. He wasn't no more back down in the candlesticks now on earth. Watch it. The rapture had done come. He was in glory sitting on his throne. I want you to notice on down. We'll find even in the fifth chapter, it was not the throne of mercy. So when you enter the fifth chapter, remember there'll be no throne of mercy. Right. You'll see then why that the seals is to Israel. We get the revelation of the seals. The seals themselves deal with Israel in their forms and things. It was not the throne of mercy. It wasn't the throne of mercy anymore. It was the throne of judgment. It wasn't the throne of grace. It's the throne of judgment. Next verse, verse 5, covers this. The throne of judgment, because fire and lightnings and thundering issued forth. No more. Mercy is over. The church age is finished. He that's filthy, let him be filthy still. He that's righteous, let him be righteous still. He that's holy, let him be holy. No more. A throne of mercy. So now we're dealing with the split part, see? We're going now to move, really, and if you technically want to go over, you go back to the 17th. Is it 17th chapter where the white throne's at? Somewhere on over that it picks up. Let's see. No, it'd have to be after that. Those white thrones, and we come back right in the millennium of 19, so it'd have to be on a little later. Okay. But anyhow, the white throne would be on over there. So you could translate way over and see things. What's going to happen between here and there is going to be revealed to where we can see it, all right? So we see it. See, this is after the rapture. This is the judgment seat, all right? Look at number four. This is Revelation chapter 4, part 2, 61-101. He's talking about throne of, I want you to notice that this was not a throne of grace no more. There the blood had been gone and the sacrifice was back again. And they had been accepted and the blood was off the mercy seat. It was now a judgment seat because thunders and lightnings issued out of it. Is that right? Remember, it was like Mount Sinai when Moses went on Mount Sinai. What happened? Thunder, lightning. Even if a cow or a calf or a sheep or anyone even touched the mountain, it must die. Then he drops down to, here stood Moses up there with the colors of God's flashing lightnings, emeralds around him. Watch them commandments to be written and things going down, just to show you. A judgment seat, it was now. Nothing could stand there before, but the redeemed. Sinners could not approach it at all. It's finished. The judgment seat. Now he's not saying the redeemed stands before the judgment seat. The redeemed sit on the judgment seat, judging the others, because that's what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6 and 2, that you'll even judge angels. All right? Now, I liked what those kids was doing a while ago in their singing. And I don't know who came up with that idea, or Rachel, but the people stood up. Hiya, hiya. Some of you is getting sleepy. Okay. Stand up, sit back down, you know. Okay. That's all right. All right. He helps, don't it? Add to his honest, the rest of y'all snored. So. But think about it now. This is a hard message maybe to try to bring, because your mind is in a thought pattern. See? And it must be brought to a change of that thought pattern. But once you see it, then you'll easily see the seals is not to Israel. I mean to the bride. The revelation is to the bride. If we go up in Revelation 4:1, why do we want to be on over there? What would be your thoughts? as I covered a while ago, but you say, or this morning, whatever it was, but you say, but Revelation 10:7, wonderful. That's God going to Israel. And that's John looking back and seeing that a prophet with the seventh church age can reveal the word. Well, you better go down to Revelation 10:1. You don't hear that preached on. Brother Brown said Revelation 10:1 was the same as Revelation 1:13, which is bride form. Oh, come on, folks. All I've ever tried to do is just get us to see our day. I don't know where we're going to the combat beast. We may hit one message. But everybody agrees that the first combat beast, the lion, was God among the people. Ox, God among the people. Man, God among the people. Eagle, Brother Branham. That's the way they go. And you go riding down the road, and you look at people's houses that are not even Christians, and they got eagles on them. Well, it's the spirit of the age. Flying high, going into the skies, interplanetary travel. Right? But see, church, just try to stay with me and what I'm saying. If we're going to judge angels, it's not before the rapture. We don't judge here on earth. We're commanded not to judge here. We wait until judgment is meted out at a correct time. All right? But you see where we're at? Look at number 5. Right? Just giving you a short point just to let you see the prophet saying it. The Church Age book, page 279. She can never be in the judgment because sin cannot be imputed to her. Romans 4:8. See, we don't go to the white throne. We done covered that in a message 2 or 3 weeks ago. We don't have to go to the white throne. See? We missed the tribulation. We missed the white throne. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. But indeed she shall be with him in his throne of judgment, judging the world and even angels. She's going to be with him. All right. Now, going down to the next. See, we're going to be... Watch who this comes to. This is the 70 weeks of Daniel, 61806, paragraph 162. Watch the filthy, that's the sleeping virgins, and them that comes up for the judgment. Way over in here. We'll get that on another map when we continue this one over. Where she comes up to the white throne of judgment. Now, the foolish virgins and nothing. And has to be judged by the redeemed. See, we could preach weeks on the judgment seat. But you ought to understand, the bride not to go before it. She don't sit, you know, she sits on the judgment seat with him. If we believe the rapture puts the throne back to the correct order, why wouldn't you believe that when you go to the judgment, you would never see him without her? That's a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. See, then, who are these? Let's just take a couple of quotes and then we'll get to our talk. Go ahead with number 7. Revelation chapter 4, part 2, 61:101, paragraph 286. Now the 20 and 4 elders, I want you to notice they were not angelic beings. Angels are not associated. Heavenly beings are not associated with crowns and thrones. And if you read verse 4 there, it covers that they will be given, they'll have white robes and they will have crowns. Did you read it? Revelation 4. And I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, which is the righteousness of the saints, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Okay. The heavenly beings are not associated with crowns and thrones. See, they were never associated. They're angels. They never did overcome. If you notice a little later on, the songs that they sang. Now, that's not the bride that sings a song of redemption over later. But you'll pick her up in Revelation 5 in heaven. She can sing. But then the others, when it goes on over, there'll be a time Israel is taken over and things are happening. What? The song that they sang, well, they sang the song of redemption. So angels don't need to be redeemed. See, they're all right. But they were redeemed men. Go ahead and get the license. We'll be through with it. Number 8. Revelation chapter 4, part 3, 61-108, paragraph 74. Now we found out that these were elders. An elder is never applied to an angel or a being. It is a redeemed human being, elders, because they thrones, crowns, and dominions is never referred to angels, but the crowns and thrones so forth pertain to human beings. And these elders were crowned and clothed and sitting on thrones. We found that they were, found them over other parts of the scripture, that they were the 12 apostles and that they were the 12 patriarchs, 20 and 4 of them, which means 24, 12 apostles, 12 patriarchs. All right. Now, so when you come to the judgment of the white throne, those 12 patriarchs can sit there. But they don't sit in our part. And Brother Branham emphasized, if you'll notice, 12 on one side and 12 on the other. He didn't mingle them together. He didn't just say 24 elders. He said 12 on one side, 12 on the other. He's dividing the redemptive plan. Did we go up in a rapture? Israel don't go up. It's just time for them to get their redemption. All right? But when you reach this position, then you've reached the position of understanding that they can sit there around the throne of God. And Brother Branham, we just read there, he said they sit on thrones. All right. They sit on thrones, the 12 apostles, the 12 patriarchs. You know, I used to wonder a statement Brother Branham made until one day, I mean, just click, what in the world are you thinking, man? You know, I give myself a chewing out sometimes. But, you know, over and later in about 21, 22, that there's 12 foundations, and each one of those foundations got a name written. Brother Brown said, John saw his name. That was easy. You know, I wondered, how did he see his name? And you know what? I read the Bible. They said there was 12 foundations, and each one of those foundations, you know, they're signified by emeralds and onyx stones, et cetera, et cetera. But in each one of them was a name written. You know, John saw his name. So he rejoiced when he looked over and saw his name. But you know, that is over about the last of the book. And then he comes back to earth and tries to tell us about it. Brother Brown said he even heard the thunders. But said he couldn't write it. Because he was forbidden to. But do you understand what I'm trying to divide? 1, 2, and 3, we are in heaven. The throne is completed. See? There's a 3.5 year period at least. Or no, wait a minute. It's 3.5 years plus a millennium. All right. There's 1,000 3.5 years. Get me right. Between the time that we are at the throne and the rapture and the white throne judgment can happen. Because it's after the millennium that the white throne judgment comes into being. See, then it can jump that far. But here's the secret of what I'm trying to tell you, to where you can get it. So then the seals is not to the bride of Jesus Christ. But the revelation of the seals is to the bride. I don't want to be there. They asked Brother Branham, said, well, Thessalonians, were the man of sin sitting in the temple of God, showing himself to be as God, said, does that fulfill the first seal? He said, yes. That's the only answer, only question he got sensible out of all the sealed questions and answers. Now, I'm just honest. Now, they were sincere questions of whether a woman should wear pajamas, you know, or whatever. And that was on people's hearts, maybe not in that and right there, but you know what I'm talking about. They was there. Or whether it should be this way. Or Brother Branham, should we baptize Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Those were in the questions and answers, you know. But he had one question. And that was the only one related to the seals. Don't you think he was brokenhearted? You know what he come out and said? Who knows what he said when he come out on the seventh seal? Or finishing the sixth because of being a prophet. He said, it's gone from you. And there's no way for you to know it. Now, I'm quoting Brother Branham. These people sitting, but I was sitting there when he said it. Well, amen. He said, it's gone from you. But said, right around the coming of the Lord, whatever happens. Well, I kind of think that maybe we might be somewhere around that. I said that probably in about 68. And I surely mean it a whole lot more here, you know, in 2012. All right? I was wanting it to happen then. I certainly want it to happen now. But get what I'm saying. See, this right here is a proof, a concrete anchor to prove that the seals and after that, the bride, Brother Branham, I read them to you over and over. The bride goes up before one. Not seen until 19. In one message, emphatically even states 1921, which is actually the 19th chapter, when the bride comes back riding on white horses with him into the millennium. Well, see, people just go haywire. There's people listening right now that they're just probably cutting their computers off and cutting off the tape. And they say, that dummy, we're over here, we're over there. What do you mean seals ain't? Well, we go out in the fourth seal. Brother Brown said the fourth seal is the rapture. But is that the opening of the fourth seal? Because you better remember, the fourth seal is the Battle of Armageddon. And according to my understanding of all the years of studying the prophet, the Battle of Armageddon is at the end of the 3.5 years of the tribulation. Now, if you want to get, we'll get right in the book and study it from there. 3.5 years of tribulation, the Battle of Armageddon is right at the end of it. So you know what that put us? That put us in the battle of, right there at the Battle of Armageddon. That means we've been through the tribulation. See, that's what man's idea is. But I'm trying to get you to see. The seals is not to us. It's to Israel. But we read the book and we know the thing. The Old Testament, listen to what I'm saying, because I've tried for 40 years to explain. The Old Testament is not to you and I. It was to Israel. You pick us up in there as Gentiles, brought in and things, but the revelation of what happened in Genesis is given to you and I. Right? But you know that really given to Israel. We glean from that as the bride of Christ to understand just as far back that away, and we can understand just as far that away. What a beautiful thing to understand the plan of redemption. But if you don't get nothing of the message, get this point. We stopped this morning in a certain spot, reviewed a little bit, showing that we're in the rapture. Now this is going to the white throne. And we sit with him in the white throne, judging. And the 12 apostles is going to be there. But the 12 patriarchs is going to be there. And those patriarchs will be dealing with judgment of Israel. The 12 apostles will be dealing with the judgment of the Gentiles. So then the judgment seat will cover everybody. We better be sitting on that instead of walking before it. No longer a throne of mercy, the prophet says. Thunders and lightnings are coming forth. Showing, just for a second, showing that we have crowns and things. Because when we enter the fifth chapter, we're going to read where we are priests and kings. Kings have crowns. Right? Think on these things. Just trying to get a point to you. So the next message is now we won't be dealing with the bride on earth. If we see any glimpse of her in between Revelations 4 and 19, it will be in a heavenly scene. Right? Not on the earth. All right. Now, the reason the rapture comes on the fourth seal is that it is a spiritual condition. And we right now are in the greatest battle ever fought. Right now is the greatest battle ever fought. I believe right now in this end time where we're at is the greatest battle that's ever been fought with the human minds. I've come down through the message 40-something years now. Never seen the like of the doctrines that have flown from good brothers. No. And I'm having to battle that in my mind and say, is that right? Sounds good. But is it right? It's going on right now. The battle of Armageddon, spiritually speaking, is in your heart and your life right now. Your brain, really, because in your heart is God living, trying to control the rest. The great battle. You notice, and I do too, I'll get to a point, and I'll be there, and people are following that point, and just as I get to where I want to make that next step, they lay out and miss the next service or two. Folks, I done preached too long. Maybe it's time for me to quit. But you see, I don't understand that. I don't understand how you can be so involved in what somebody is saying. And they've given you a porterhouse steak and promised you, what's above a porterhouse? I'm not, filet mignon, what's that big old word? And you say, make sure you come back. And that is not there. I was preaching one time, and a brother said, come to my office, and he said, Brother Dale, I'm leaving the church. After 23 years, he said, I'm leaving. I said, do yourself a favor. He said, what? I said, don't leave this morning. Wait till I finish the evening service. I begged him. Please, brother, don't. I said, because I'm going to preach on something. It offended him. He said, "You don't think I know anything, know about it?" I said, "No, you don't. You want my answer? The reason I knew he didn't know? If he'd known, he wouldn't have been going out the door. But I said, you don't know what I'm going to preach on it. And I would beg you to come this evening." He did. But I never understood that. But you know what? It helps me sometimes. Because then I realized that probably the biggest portion of people didn't get it. The ones that stayed, maybe some of them didn't get it. So I said, "Well, Lord, we just back up and start again. We're going to go through this again. Right? We just back up and start another series. Well, maybe it's all for the right benefit. I don't know. I'm just trying to do what I can do. Come on, musicians. But if you followed what I said today, this evening, you can see that those seals and the things, they happen after we're gone. Because it's going to bring up, now listen as I'm finishing, I'll review just a tab maybe in a message. I don't know how to go next. But that 144,000 has got to be brought in. So redemption goes to Israel. Brother Brown said, "Read your seal book." He said, "The next redemption is 144,000 to Israel." All right. See, but they've got to, by the time you get to the white throne, they got to be brought in. So it's still a plan of redemption. Yeah, wonderful thing. Let's stand together. The plan of redemption. What we got, brothers? Where's the girls? Hey, I like that. Where's the girls at? Are you hiding? Come on, girls. We bought all these microphones. And sometimes when we get about 7 or 8 up here, they're going to have to pair up with each other and sing off of them. But today we got enough microphones to go around. I appreciate these kids. I love to see them want to do something. You know. All right, go ahead. What do we got? Amen.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve.
That God is still real.
What a mighty God we serve.
Next to you and
what
sing it.
What a mighty God we serve.
You know, when you're looking at God,
what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him, heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve.
Ain't God good?
What a mighty God we serve.
We're going to take it into Ain't God Good next now.
What a mighty God
we
serve.
Ain't God. Somebody get it going. Change the tune and get it right.
So many blessings I'm deserving. That's what we are. We are to take Him. Love and praise Him for today. Full of more tomorrow. So many blessings I deserve.
Right.
That's what we are. We are to thank Him.
creation. I'm a brand new man, right?
All things are passed away, I've been born again,
right?
More than a conqueror,
that's what I am. I'm a new creation. What have you done for us? We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. Only one
we
overthrown.
People of his kingdom.
There's never been one
family.
On this throne.
We are one.
Ain't God good? Wonderful, isn't he? To reveal his word. The bride of Jesus Christ is no mystery that he has withholden from her. He sent it to her. To know what's going to happen here, then to know what's going to happen after we leave, and to know what's going to happen out through eternity, we truly have been a blessed people. Right? Well, you got one more before we go. Go ahead.
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
Right.
I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book. Every chapter.